Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Samach Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formative introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 9 lines from the top of Daf Samach Tes. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we'll take note of our topic heading that we call the Nosei that you see in the margin, which reads, Ha'oimer Moiser Shlish Yehei Scharcha, one who offers his item for improvement, for profiting. Topics that we've been discussing in our recent Dapim, and of course, as we often point out, if you're a first-time listener, then by all means you have to be familiar with the Gemaras that we've been learning in the past several Dapim. Many principles have been established, and we will not be able to go over them again, keeping in mind all those that have been listening and learning from the beginning, certainly, of this Perek. So that in the with that having been said, we're speaking about a case of someone giving, we'll say, an animal, a small animal, to someone to improve, to feed, to develop. Eventually, the animal will be sold, and there will be a profit. The case Rab is referring to is a situation where the animal's value is assessed, and that is then understood by the one who is profiting it. That represents the principal value. And as we've discussed in the past, there is a need for the owner to pay the one raising, developing the animal in addition to sharing in the profits. Because if you're going to leave the arrangement as simply 50-50 sharing the profits, we get back into the problem of an iska that's half milve and half pikadon, which we have said already numerous times, receiving on a profit from an arrangement like that is a ribbis problem. What Rav is suggesting here seems to be that in lieu of the schar, the fee that one would pay in order to circumvent or obviate the ribbis problem, here the owner of the animal says to the worker, he says, any profit above a third, you can keep all of it as your payment. So that if you have an animal that's worth, let us say, $90, and it profit that is realized from that exceeds $30, so if the animal is given to the worker that's worth $90, is then eventually raised and increases in size and mass, and is then sold for $150. The amount of money between $120 and $150, that additional $30 in our example, all of that will go to the worker. The money from $90 to $120, that $30 represents shlish, a third of the original value. That $30 will be split between the original owner. In this case, he'll get $90 plus $15, $105 from the worker, and the worker will keep the other $15 of those $30 plus the $30 from $120 to $150. So he'll be able to put in his pocket $45. So Rav says that's an acceptable arrangement. Shmuel, you will see very shortly, will tell us in the Gemara what happens if there is no Moiser Shlish. Let us say there is the animal that we just described that was given to the worker valued at 90 is sold for $120. Then, according to what Rav is saying, the worker will get $15, the owner will get $15, and all of that gets us back into the original problem of being of splitting profits while at the same time the worker had upon him unconditional responsibility concerning 50% of the principal value of the animal he received. And that's a ribis problem. So that's the question that Shmuel poses to Rav. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav, Moiser Shlish Bischarcha, any profit above a third will be for you to keep as your payment for your efforts in raising the animal. Harei Zemuter, that offer, that arrangement is allowed. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel asks on Rav and says, Lo Motza Moiser Shlish, and if the worker doesn't produce profits above 33%, Yelech Lebeso Reikon, is he going to go home without any fee? Ela Omar Shmuel, Kaitzeitz Lo Dinar. According to Shmuel, the owner says to the worker, if there is profit above a shlish, a third, then you keep that as your payment. And if not, so you will get from me a dinar, a denomination of currency, as pay for your efforts. And once you pay the worker for his efforts, so then, as we've said many times, it is permissible to split the profits between the two, the worker and the owner of the animal. The Gemara asks, for Sova Rav ein kotzitzin lo dinar. Is Rav of the opinion that there is no need for presenting that option? Namely, if there is no third, then you get some formal payment. In this case, we said a dinar, a coin, v'homa Rav. But we know Rav to have said, Reish Egla Liftuma. Ptuma is, if you look at that word, maybe you see the word fat. This has to do with fattening an animal. Ptuma is the one who raises an animal, fattens it up, and then sells it for profit. The case Rav seems to address is where he offered the head of the calf as payment for the one raising the animal. And under what circumstances did Rav say that? My lav, is it not so? Di omerle moiser shlish bischarcha, where Rav made the offer to the patom, the one raising the animal, saying to him, if there's profit above a third, that will be your pay. And if there isn't profit above a third, so take the head of the animal as your pay. So we see that Rav doesn't say that you can simply present as an option to a worker that if there's more than a third, the profit above 33%, you keep. That's not enough. Lo, that's not the case of Rav and the Reish Egla Liftuma. The Ka'omar Lei, what Rav was describing, where he said he offered to the worker, E Moisar Shlish, E Reish Egla Liftuma. Either Moser Shlish, accept that as your schar, or accept Reish Egla Liftuma, but not where he said, if there is no Moser Shlish, then you will get the Reish Egla. But either this or that. Eboy Esema, another approach to Rav, Ki Koma Rav Moser Shlish Bischarcha Muter. Under what circumstances did Rav say that you can offer the profit level beyond a third as payment to the worker that he would be entitled to keep that? And no offer of, we'll say, alternative offer of a dinar or Reish Egla. Namely, when did Rav say that Moiser Shlish B'Schorcha is enough? Kagon de isle behema ledide. Those are under special circumstances where the worker, the makabel, the one who receives the animal for raising, has his own animal. So that he has to raise his own animal anyway. He has to prepare food for his own animal. The Amri Inshi, people say, a common saying is, Govil Lutura, Govil Luturi. Govil is a reference to mixing a bran with water to serve as animal feed. People say you mix for one animal, you mix for two animals, it's more or less the same effort. So under circumstances like that the extended effort on the part of the worker is negligible, so then you don't have to offer a guaranteed moser dinar or extra coin or head of an animal as schar. It's enough for you to promise him that if there's profit of beyond a third, you can keep that. But once again, according to Iboy Sema, that's only under circumstances that the additional effort that the worker has to invest in the animal he received is negligible. And now we have an incident. We call it a mice. We have a long marking. Rebbe Elozer Mehagronia. Hagronia is the name of a place. It's Rebbe Elozer from that place, Hagronia. Zovin Behema V'yoyev Lei Larise. Rebbe Elozer bought an animal and gave it to his sharecropper with the understanding that they will split the profits, and if there's any loss, so he will bear the loss, 50% of loss, unconditional responsibility. Mefatim lay, he fattened the animal, he raised it, he improved it. V'yoyev lay reisha ba'agrei. And Rebbe Elozer also gave this oris, this sharecropper of his, that was raising the animal, Rebbe Elozer gave him the oris, the head of the animal as reward, as payment. V'yoyev palga revacha. And he gave him half of the profits. Amra le divisu. The wife of the worker, of the oris, said, I mishtafis badei, Yoiv loch nami al yisa. If you would buy an animal in partnership with him, with Rebbe Elozer, you will get the al yisa, the fat tail. The al yisa is an appendage of a sheep. The tail, it's a very fatty, called rich type of meat or part of the animal that was seen to be very desirable. So the wife was trying to encourage her husband, the Oris, to buy an animal in partnership with Rebbe Elozer and raise the animal and sell it for profit, etc. And she was trying to encourage him to do so because he will then give you even the Al Yisa. Ozal Zovin Bade. So he went, listened to his wife, and bought an animal in partnership with Rebbe Elozer. Polig lay me'al yisa. Well, they split the animal. He split the animal down the middle, and Oris received half of the al yisa. They're partners, so each one receives half. Amar lay Rebbe Elozer ta niflige l'reisha. Come, he says to his sharecropper, let's split the head. Share the head, split it. Amar lay, the sharecropper says back, ashto kemikar nami lo. And now that I'm a partner, I'm not going to get even as much as I got before. In other words, when I received the animal from you to raise, I received the entire head as schar. Now I'm going to get only half the head. Omarlei, so Rebbe Elozer explains, Ad hu idna zuzi didi havu. Until now, it was my money. There was no partnership. The animal, I bought the animal with my money. And when you accept it upon yourself to raise the animal and absorb half of the loss, if there be, so then that created a problem of a milve, of a loan. As we've mentioned so many times in our recent shurim, when you, as a worker, accept 50% loss, unconditional responsibility that is viewed as a loan. And in order to get around the ribis problem, the Gemara goes on, Ilo have yahivna loch tfei purta, if I wouldn't have given you a little more than half the profit, merci caribis, it would have appeared to be like interest. In other words, our sharing of the profits would have constituted my receiving interest from you. So I had to give you the head, the complete head, that as your pay. Hashto shutfi anan. But now there's no issue here of ribis, where shutfin were partners in the animal. My kuamris, what are you going to try to argue? Tarachna tfe porta, that I had to trouble myself a little more. Amri inshi, it's well known, it's a common saying. Stama risa, your basic oris, lamori aro kemishabid nafshe le siye le raya. He is bound to serve the owner of the property that he is working on to provide grazing for the owner's animals, so that you're providing food for the animal that we have in partnership doesn't constitute some kind of extra effort per se on your part that for which I would have to pay you. Before we go further, you immediately, I'm sure, notice a couple of framed sections, two Tanaic sources. In each source, you might notice there is a diamond. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei/Mivneh heading, we have featured a diamond. And we've written, HaMekabel Behema Mechaveroi B'shuma, one who received an animal that was initially assessed, and then he raises the animal, and they share the profits. Ad Mosechayev L'Tapel. For how much time does the Mekabel, the one who received the animal, have to care for Ba, the animal itself, Bevlados, the offspring, the children of that animal that he accepted? Tonu Rabbonon, Hashom Behemel Chavero, Shom, from the word Shuma, an animal is assessed, its value is, we'll say, is affixed, and then it's given to someone to raise, and eventually sell and share in the profits. Ad mosai chayv letapel bo. For how long does the receiver have to care for the animal? And in other words, once he starts his efforts in developing the animal, he has to continue and can't back out prematurely. For how long must he metapel care for the animal? Sumchus oimer basonos. When it comes to donkeys, shmoina osor chodesh, a minimum of 18 months. But Godros are other small types of cattle, like sheep and goats. Chof dalad chodesh, 24 months. V'imbo lachloik b'sech zmano, chaveru makev olav. And if he tries to split in the middle prematurely, so the other one can stop him. Who is the one who is initiating the premature split? So there are two versions in Rashi, either the Mekabel or the Balabayas, the owner of the animal. That is the second shot you see in the Rashi, the end of the narrow lines. We have a bracketed section. The language in the bracket section is not 100% accurate, so we say that you cannot split prematurely in chaveru makiv alav. We skip the brackets momentarily. L'fisheinu doima tipula shoshana zu l'tipula shoshana acheres. The amount of care that's necessary for 1 year is not the same as the amount of care necessary in the second year, in the subsequent year. Whether the second year is more or is less, that already depends on the two versions that you can see in Rashi. But simply to back out early and expect to share half the profits, that would be unreasonable because of the imbalance in terms of amount of efforts that are required each year. Let's go over the source with the brackets. Now, let's pick up from the middle of the source. We said chaveru makiv alav. If one of the parties, either the worker or the owner, wants to back out, the other one can stop him. Aval eino doime tipula shel shana zula tipula shel shana acheres. However, the amount of effort for carrying the animal on 1 year is not the same as for the next year. My avol de komar. The word avol is out of place here. Therefore, Gemara suggests it should read lefi she'eno dome. The prohibition of backing out early is because the amount of efforts of 1 year, the efforts needed for caring for the animal 1 year are different than the amount of efforts needed to care for the animal the second year. As we said before, you can look into Rashi to see who is the one that wants to back out, and also you'll see there which one of the 2 years is considered the more difficult period of caring, and which one of the 2 years is easier. Tanya idach, we continue in the Gemara. Hashom behem al chavero, an mosah chayv l'tabel bevodos. If an animal is assessed and its value is assigned to it, it produces offspring, how long must the worker care for those vlados, for those newborn? The doctor shloshim yom, with light cattle, sheep and goats, 30 days. Begasa chamishim yom, in a large animal, a calf, born from a cow, 50 days. Rabbi Yossi yomer bedaka shloshim chadashim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama and says when it comes to the small type animal, the sheep, young goats, 3 months. It requires a lot of care. Here in the brackets, we're not skipping, but just recognizing that it's a Gemara interruption of the Tanaic source. My tipula meruba. What do you mean by tipula meruba when it comes to a behema daka? Nei sheshinao dakas. It has very thin teeth, and hence it has to be cared for in terms of what food it's given in order to subsist. Mikan v'elech, beyond the times we mentioned, noitel mechzer shelo v'chatzi mechzer b'shel chavero. In terms of the profits, he gets 50% off the top for himself, and he gets half of the owner's profits as well. The Rashi, we'll look at together 4 lines from the very end. Mikan ve'elech, beyond the times mentioned, Yitoil hamekabel mechso shalem b'shvil chelko, sherei chetzio shelo, he gets half the profits, as that was the basic agreement, original agreement. Kevin deboi lemitrach bo mishu mechso shelo, shu keren gomor v'yeno milve. Since he has to take care of his half that represents pure principal value and is not a loan, ki torach mishum didei kotorach v'lo mechzi kribisa. When he is caring for it, he is caring for it as his own, and it therefore doesn't appear to be a problem of ribis. Rav Menashe bar Gado shokal mechzo shelo v'chatzi mechzo b'shel chavero. Rav Menashe entered an arrangement like we just saw in the previous Tanaic source, also l'kame d'Abaye. And he came to Abaye, the case came to Abaye's attention. Omar le man polagloch, who made the assessment of the animal's original value? Maybe it wasn't assessed properly. V'oid, And furthermore, Mokoim Shenohagu Legadeo Hu Utnan, Mokoim Shenohagu Legadeo Yagdilu. Now, this quote is very terse, but Rashi adds at the bottom line, Yagdilu Havlodois, the offspring are raised, Ad Shu Gedoilim, until they're large, V'eino Neitel B'shel Chavero Klum. And he doesn't take any share of the owner's profits. So Abaye was pointing out then the point that was made that he took half b'shel chavero, the chatzi mechza b'shel chavero, in that area that was not the practice. It would be unacceptable. Hano tre kusoi de avud isko b'hadi hadodi. Note, we have a long marking. There's an incident of Maisa that takes place. There were two Kusoi. Kusoi are the Kusi people. The Ovid Iska Bahadi Hadodi. They entered a business arrangement together. Ozo Chad Minayu Polig Zuzi Belodaiti de Chavrei. And at a certain point, one of them decided to disband the partnership and divided the money without the awareness of his friend. Asu lekame de Rav Papa. The case came to Rav Papa. Omar lehu, my nafka mino. Rav Papa said to them, what difference does it make? From the context, you can see that we'll call them Mr. A and Mr. B. Mr. A divided the partnership, took half the cash, and walked off. And Mr. B complained. And Rav Papa said to Mr. B, what difference does it make to you? You're left with half the cash. Omar of Nachman. Zuzi keman de pligi domu. Once you have cash in the till, it's as if it's already divided. Let me read that again. I skipped the mistakenly two words. Omar Le, Rav Papa said to him, my nafka mina, what difference does it make to you? Hachi Omar Rav Nachman, thusly says Rav Nachman, Zuzi kemanda pligi domi. Domu, that is cash that accumulated in the partnership, is as if it's divided. You don't have to conduct any formal assessments or evaluations in order to split such a setup. Lashana, the next year, Zavun Chamra Bahadi Hadodi. They bought wine together in partnership, barrels of wine. Kum Idoch Polig Le Belo Daite. Now, in the previous year, so we said that Mr. A split and Mr. B came with the complaint. Here, Mr. B is splitting and with the partnership, and Mr. A is coming with the complaint. So we'll read that again. Kom idach, the other one arose, polig le below daite de chavre, asu lekame de Rav Papa. So again, the case came to Rav Papa. Omar Le, here Rav Papa said to Mr. B, who did the splitting, Man Polagloch, who arranged for the division, who evaluated the wine so that we would know that you took a legitimate 50% of it and not more. Omar Le, so Mr. B says to Rav Papa, Kachazina de Bosu Dide, Kaosi Mar, I see that you're favoring him, Mr. A. Last year when I came to complain, you said, what difference does it make? This year when I split and he comes to complain, you're scrutinizing my behavior. Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ki hai gavna, under circumstances like this, Vadai tzorech la'idoye. Here I certainly have to reveal my reasoning. In other words, in standard legal decisions, the rabbi who issues his ruling doesn't have to publicize his reasoning. However, in a situation like this where it, without any further explanation, it looks like, in fact, I am tilting in favor of one over the other, and that, of course, will cause a bad name to rabbinic legal procedure. So here I must reveal. Zuzi, Mishokil Tovi Vishovik Hasri, in the case of a cash division, does one take only the good coins and leave behind the eroded coins? No, in a coin division, it's very easy to see the different qualities of coins and make an equitable split. Chamra, when it comes to wine, kuli al moyadi, everyone knows the iko de bosim, viko de lo bosim. There's some barrels, some qualities are bosim, sweet, pleasant, more desirable, and others are not as desirable. So there, you need to have a formal assessment before an equitable split can be made. And now the Gemara goes over a point that was just cited in passing. Gufa, Omar Rav Nachman, Zuzi, Keman, Depligi, Domu. We say that cash, even though it's all together in the till, it's as if it's split between the two partners. Hani Mili, we can say that when the different forms of cash, or say all the currency, are Tovi the Tovi, Tikuli the Tikuli. Rashi explains that in the realm of currency, there are coins that are, we'll say, lighter in weight, but the imprimatur on them, the tsura, the form on the coin, signals their greater desirability for commercial transactions. We'll call them more liquid, more useful in transactions. Those are the tovi. Tikuli, from the word mishkal, the tov and the shin can interchange, are coins that weigh more. They have more, say, metal content, and people that want to have precious metal in their possession, and that's their primary interest, more so than the face value of the coin. So they would prefer to have tikuli. So if you have, a box of coins that are all tovi, or a box of coins that are all tikuli, so under those circumstances, Rav Nachman said, we can view them as if they're already split. Aval tovi v'tikuli lo. If the coins are mixed, some are tovi and some are tikuli, so then we can't say they're automatically viewed as already split, but rather some more concentrated, formal, or equitable type distribution split between the two partners must be made. Rav Chamo Avamoger Zuzi Bepshita. Before we go further, we should note our introduction in the no say the topic heading on the side. Hevdel bein haskoras matbeos she'oser laskoras chafotzim. The Gemara will note the distinction between renting coins, that's forbidden, and renting objects. And when you speak about renting coins, I'm sure some people might be smiling when you hear that idea. But I'm sure that the smile arises because it sounds so much like a loan. What do you mean, rent coins? We pointed out that renting coins would be prohibited. You are going to give someone a sum of currency, and he will eventually return that sum of currency. It's like when you have, let's say, a car rental, you get the car and you give back the car, and in addition to giving back that sum, you're also going to pay him. So you're getting more money than you had given out. Well, that's interest, is it not? And yet, when it comes to, let us say, renting portables, you rent to someone a lawnmower, or you rent to someone your garden equipment, you get back that garden equipment, and the person who rented it pays you a fee, and we know there's nothing wrong with that. So now the Gemara. Rav Chama have a moger zuzi bepshita. Rav Chama would rent out coins, zuzi, bepshita. Pshita is a small amount of currency. It's called a zuz medina lioma. So he would rent out these coins and charge the customer a pshita per day. Kalu zuzi de Rav Chama. And Rav Chama's coins became a loss. They kolu literally means they finished off. In other words, Rav Chama lost his wealth. Hu savar, he figured, my shno mimora, what's the difference between renting out coins versus renting out a shovel? Rashi points out, by the way, that based on the Gemara Daf Ayin Aleph, that people that charge interest eventually go broke, that's what happened to Rav Chama. But in the meantime, Rav Chama, to explain his behavior, he figured, what's the difference between renting out a shovel and renting out coins? Velohi, and it's not so, they're not parallel. Mora, when you're dealing with a garden implement like a mora hoe or a shovel, hodra bi'eino v'yadia pichsei, the same shovel that I rented out is the one that I get back, and there's also depreciation that you will notice once you, if you gave a shovel and it was used for digging, so some of the, we'll say, metallic content gets eroded, and that's not a loan. That's not a loan of money. And another major distinction is that the one who rents it doesn't bear unconditional responsibility for it. If, let us say, the shovel is the subject of some onus, some kind of uncontrollable destructive force, or it breaks in the course of work, the renter doesn't have to compensate for that. Therefore, since there's no, we'll say, there's no guaranteed return of the shovel, the payment for its use does not constitute interest. We continue in the Gemara. Zuzi lo hadri benayu velo yadia pichsei. When it comes to coins that you, will say, rented out, you don't expect to get back those very same coins. You gave certain coins, you get back other coins. So the ones that you gave out are not the ones that you get back. The ones that you gave were given to him to spend. And Rashi points out that that being the case, since he's not giving you back the same coins, he bears unconditional responsibility to make sure that you get paid back. Once you speak in terms of unconditional responsibility, that is what is a classic loan. And getting paid for that, in addition to the return of the money, constitutes interest. And Rashi points out, even though it was presented as if it were a rental, that doesn't help. And the Gemara said, "Velo yadia pichsei," means, and even if the very same coins that you had rented out are in fact returned to you, you're not going to notice any depreciation in the coins. And therefore, you're getting back at least exactly what you had given. And in addition to that, you're getting a fee, plus the point we made that the one who received the coins received them with unconditional responsibility. It's forbidden to take a fee in addition to the return of those coins. That is called interest. As you notice, there are triangles that appear in the text. On the side of the Gemara, there are nosei/mivne heading. The triangle is featured. Shnei Meimros Shel Rava, two statements of Rava. And a double underline highlights the similarity in statements. Shori Le Leinish Lemeimer Lechavrei. You'll see cases that we allow someone to tell his friend. Number one, Mutter l'shalem l'malve kidei l'shachle l'halveis l'ploni. I can pay a man that has money as a means of convincing him to loan money to so and so. In other words, I'm not the one who's going to receive the loan. So, as a result of that, I'm allowed to pay. If you want to just simplify matters, A pays Mr. B a fee so that Mr. B loans Mr. C some money. So that it's true that in the final picture, Mr. B, who loans out the money, is going to end up profiting from this deal, but it's not interest. Why is it not interest? Interest is only that which is paid to the lender by the borrower. In our case, Mr. A, who was paying the money, was not borrowing the money. He was simply trying to convince Mr. B to loan money to Mr. C. Another point, number two, it's that it's allowed for one to say to his friend, Schar Amira Mutter, Klomar, the Mutter Lekabel Tashlum, Schar Avur Hagoshas, Bakosha, Lamalve, Lahalve is Kesef. I can receive money as a fee for talking to a Malve, a lender, to loan out money. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava, Shori Lei Linish Lememale Lechavrei, it is permissible for a person to say to his friend, Heloch Dalet Zuzi, take these four coins, the Oisve Leplanyo Zuzi, and loan to so and so some Zuzi, some coins. Lo Osra Torah Elo Ribis Habo Mi Loive Lamalve. The Torah, when it speaks of the prohibition of interest, prohibits only Ribis, interest. That is comes from the lova, from the borrower, paid to the lender. Not so in the case Rava featured. V'yama Rava, shori le linish lemeimar le lechavrei, it is permissible for one to say to his friend, shkiloch arba zuzi, take these four coins, v'yama le leploni le'oisven zuzi, and tell so-and-so to extend a loan to someone else. So you have Mr. A giving money to Mr. B. Mr. B will say is a good talker. And he will go to Mr. C to try to convince Mr. C to loan money to Mr. D. My time. Why is this allowed? Schar Amira Koshokil. The money that Mr. A is paying to Mr. B is a speaker's fee. That's all. And there's no issue of receiving interest. Kiha de Abamor Brei de Rav Papa, the son of Rav Papa, who is referred to as Abamor, the son of Rav Papa, have a shokil ugna de kira mi kiroi. V'yomale lavua. He, this son of Rav Papa, received from some wax producers a bowl of wax, ugna dekira, he received a bowl of wax as payment so that he, Abamor, should go to his father, Rav Papa, to convince him to loan them money. Let's read that line again. Abamor, we said, Avashoka ugna dekira mikroi, v'omra le la'avua. And he was expected, as Abba Mor, to speak to his father, Rav Papa, Oz Finhu Zuzi, loan to them, to the wax people, money. Omru Le Rabbanan Rav Papa. So the rabbi said to Rav Papa, Ochil Brei Demor Ravisa, your son is consuming ribbis, is receiving interest. Omalu Rav Papa said to the rabbis, Kol Ki Hai Ravisa Nechol, any interest like that is fine to consume. Lo osra Torah la ribis habomi lova lamalve. The only interest that's prohibited is that which is paid from the one borrowing the money to the one loaning the money. Hacha schar amiro koshokil v'shori. Here, there's a talker's fee. money, the wax that was paid to Rav Papa's son, was a fee that was paid to him, so that he, Abba Mor, should talk to his father to extend the wax to the wax people a loan. That's called schar amira, and that's permissible to receive. And now the Mishnah. Shomin pora v'chamor v'chodover shu'oise v'oichel l'mechza. This is a continuation of the topics we've been discussing already for quite a few dapim, the idea of assessing an initial value of a cow or a donkey or any other animal that that produces. It's oise, it's a dosh oise v'oichel. And the profit will be split between the two. The work that they produce, the produce of the work that they, their work output goes to the makabel. That he can benefit from these animals, their service as plowing creatures or as beasts of burden. That's benefit that otherwise he would have had to pay in order to hire other animals. So the Mekabel is entitled to receive that, the work output, as his payment, and once the worker, the one who's going to improve the animal and eventually sell it for a profit, and then split it with the animal owner, we allow that arrangement as long as he receives a schar. And as we've said already oftentimes, the schar can be in the form of enjoying the work output of that animal. Mokom shenagu lachloik es avlados miyad chokim. In places that it was customary to divide, split the offspring that are born from these animals that you're raising, raising on behalf of the owner, when the time for splitting vlados comes, it is done. We'll see later on the time for splitting the animals depends on the kind of animal. The Bemadaka, you'd have to care for its offspring 30 days. A large animal, it's got a calf, you'd have to care for it 50 days. We'll see more about that later. Mokom shenagu legadel yagdilu. In places that it was customary for the worker to develop the offspring even more than that minimum amount of time, so that's what he is obligated to do, to continue caring for them. Rav Shimon Gamliel loymer shomen aigel im imo, usyach im imo. When one receives an animal, let's say a mother animal to take care of, and there is also an offspring, an additional fee for caring for the offspring is not necessary to be paid. Rashi says across from here, Shomen Egelim, Mimo, V'ein Tzork Litein Schar Omo, Umozon La Egel, Elo Le'em. All you have to pay the worker for is for his care and efforts invested in the mother. The mother will take care, the mother animal will take care of the offspring. Umafriz al sadeo v'enuchoshesh mishum ribis. The term mafriz we will see and discuss later in the Gemara, but it has to do with making investments in the field, making the field more productive, and as a result of paying for those field improvements, the one who is developing the field for you can be expected to pay a higher return, and that additional pay is not going to be viewed as ribbis. As I said, we'll discuss this topic more later on. Tonu Rabbonon, and here the Gemara makes it turns immediately to this last point of mafriz. Mafriz al sodeo v'enuchoshish mishum ribbis. That's the headline. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Ketzad. How are we to understand it? What does that mean, mafriz al sodeo? So here we get a detailed example. Hasecher es hasoda mechavero, basora kurim chitin l'shana. Someone is renting a field from a field owner who will produce a harvest, and he will pay the owner 10 kor of wheat per year. Kor is a dry measure. So the rate that they agreed on is that the field owner will receive as payment for rental payment 10 kor of chita per year. Chita being wheat. V'oymer lo, and the renter says, Tein li mosayim zuz, give me 200 zuz, v'afar sena, and I will improve the field, thereby increasing the harvest. V'ani ela loch shneim osur kur mishana. Mutter, and because of because of this, I will then pay you 12 kor per year. Now, a very significant detail has to be added. When he says, give me 200 zuz, and I will make investments in the field, this renter will return the 200 zuz. In effect, it sounds like, and I hesitate saying it, but it sounds like he's asking for a loan of 200 zuz. I don't want to use the word loan, because then you're going to say, well, how then can he raise the rental fee be increased? So we're explaining that the fact that the money that he's borrowing is going to be used to improve the field itself, the fact then is that the field now is a more valuable field, which can draw a higher rental fee. And that's not ribis. The Gemara continues, Aval ein mafriz lo al chonus velo al sfina. And here we have to explain clearly what has just been stated. So we take a look in the Rashi, the lower part of the narrow lines. Avalo mafriz lo al schar chonus velo al schar sfina. Shim sochar mimenu chonus sfina. If one rented a shop or a boat, also luvis himenu mois lipnois peros velimkar bechonus, it's forbidden for the renter to borrow money from the owner for the purpose of buying fruits and thereby and then selling the fruits in the chonus, or merchandise to ship aboard the boat that he is renting. And v'yalu al d'mei s'ruso, and as a result of getting this loan for buying merchandise, the renter of the shop or the boat will increase the rental fee, pay more for rental. That is not allowed. Kevon d'lo begufa d'chanus esfino komapik lehu l'anav zuzi. Since in those cases the money was not used to improve the actual shop or improve the actual boat, the raised rental isn't because of an improved shop or boat. The increased rental is a payment for the fact that he extended a loan to you. Well, that's payment for a loan. That is ribis. What is the foundation, the fundamental point here? That when the improvement is external to the item that you are renting, the ribis prohibition figures in, preventing the renter from paying more for the rental. That additional payment constitutes interest. We continue in the Gemara. Omer of Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuha. Pa'omim shemafriz al. There are times that the cases involving the chonus and the sfina will actually allow. Al chonus latsur botsura. Sfina lasis la is iskaria. First we'll translate. The issue here is of borrowing money from the owner of the shop for painting the shop, lotsu botsura, to literally make shapes in the shop, to make the shop more attractive. Sfinos to make a mast or other ship vessels. If you want to borrow money for that purpose and investing in the boat itself, so then we allow it. The Gemara elaborates, Chanus Latsubot Surta, the borrowing of the money from the shop owner in order to paint it, to make it look nicer, then the shop owner can receive an increased amount of rental. Tetzavu ba inshi v'havi agrotfei. With a finer looking shop, the inshi people, tzavu ba, will line up, will crowd, be attracted to the shop, and now you have the shop itself draws a larger clientele. For that, you're entitled to receive a higher rental. It's a more valuable shop. Similar to the case of the field before that became a more valuable, a higher producing field. Here's a higher producing shop because of its increased attractiveness. Sfino, Lasislo Iscario, Kevon de Shapiro Iscario, Tfe, Agro Tfe. I should read that. Kevon de Shapiro Iscario Tfe, Agro Tfe. Since you improved the appearance of the boat, one is entitled to receive a higher rental fee for it. Before we go on, first of all, you notice a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have an Osei topic heading, which reads Agra Upagra. Agra is schirus, rental fee. Im tnai shim yishover, with a condition that if the boat breaks, is shalem. Hasocher benosaf l'schirus, the renter will pay for those repairs in addition to the rental money. So agro is the rental fee. Pagro is compensation for destruction that takes place of the item that you're renting. Now, some of you may already have the sense that this doesn't smell so good. We have learned in the past that when you accept responsibility for the value of the item you are receiving, that is like a loan. And then if you then have an item that someone else is going to accept responsibility for, I say unconditional responsibility, you cannot, as the owner of the item, receive from that individual additional money. Don't confuse this, by the way, with someone who borrows an item. Someone who borrows an item doesn't accept upon himself unconditional responsibility. There are cases in borrowing that if it, let us say, the item breaks while he's using it in a responsible fashion, he doesn't have to pay the owner. So now let's turn to the Gemara, paying attention to the alternating direction of the trapezoid or volcano shape that you notice. On the side in the margin under our Mivneh heading, we refer to this as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara, with the narrow part facing up. Dinoi shel Rav v'chizuk l'shitaso, will present Rav's opinion and points that support him. The inverted marking indicates a question, a challenge. Now the Gemara. Svinto, Omar Rav, Svinto, the boat. Regarding the boat, Rav says, Agro Pagra, it's mutter to rent out the boat, with a condition that if it breaks, the renter will compensate for that. Omru Lei, Rav Kana Ravasi, the Rav. So these two great Rabbonim, Rav Kana and Rav Asi, they said to Rav, he agro lo pagra, if you're going to rent it out, get a rental fee, you can't bind the client or the customer, the renter, for pagra, for paying for any form of depreciation or loss, e pagra, and if the one receiving the item from you accepts unconditional responsibility for any loss, lo agra, then you're not entitled to receive from him a rental fee. Shosik Rav, Rav remained silent. Omar, Rav, Sheshes, my time of Shosik Rav. Why did Rav remain silent in the face of the claims of Rav Kana Ravasi? Lo Shmia Le Ha Desanya. Did he not hear the following source? Af al pi sha'omru, even though it has been taught, ein mekablin soin barzel mi Yisrael, avo mekablin soin barzel min hanochrim, one is not to enter an agreement, an arrangement called soin barzel. Literally, soin barzel is iron sheep. However, in practical terms, iron is something that remains. It doesn't, for our purposes, it doesn't change in shape or in form or in weight or in value. It's something solid. What is the relevance of that to sheep? That's a case where one would accept upon himself unconditional responsibility as regarding the value of sheep. I accept upon myself to raise the sheep, noting their initial value, guaranteeing you that in return, and then sharing in the profits. That arrangement is not allowed, because once you guarantee to maintain or return that value, it becomes like a loan. And when we speak about guaranteeing the value of the sheep that I am given to raise and improve, we take into consideration not only the responsibility of compensation in the case of the death of those sheep, but also to compensate if there's any market loss in value of those sheep, so that the owner of the sheep is guaranteed their return or their value, and he will also receive profits, share in the profits that this worker will realize through developing the animals. So we tell you, one is not allowed to accept from the owner of animals sheep in the tzon barzel fashion. One, however, can do so if he's dealing with Gentiles. The rules of interest are not the same when you're dealing with idol worshippers as when you are dealing with Jews. In the case of Jews, you cannot charge a Jew interest, nor can you give a Jew interest on a loan. When you're dealing with idol worshippers, that two-way street exists. Avol Omru, however, it is said, Hashom Poro L'Chavero, if a cow is assessed and a value assigned to it, V'omar Lo Hare Poroscha Asiolai B'Shloishim Dinar, and a worker comes along and says, your cow is upon me, meaning I accept responsibility of 30 dinar if I don't return the cow to you. Vani Eloch Sela B'Chodesh, and I will plow with the animal, and I will pay you a monthly fee. So notice, you are receiving an animal, guaranteeing its value, and in addition to returning the animal or that 30 dinar, you're also going to be paying a fee. That's mutter. You ask, why is that mutter? Is that not against everything we've said till now? Lefi shelo, and we skip the bracketed section, asa'a damim mechayim el le'achar misa, because this was not an all-encompassing, encompassing acceptance of responsibility. This person accepted the value, the 30 dinar value, to pay the owner if the animal dies, but not if the market value of cows fell. We call that zula, zoil. Since he accepted partial responsibility, the arrangement becomes allowed. And in the case of Rav with the boat, the a customer who was going to pay a rental fee for the boat and accepted pagra. Pagra indicated the destruction of the boat. He would compensate if the boat breaks, but not if there would be some type of market value in boats that he would not compensate for. And therefore, it's not the same as a loan where there is unconditional, all-encompassing responsibility. We skipped a few words, so just to go over the text with the included bracketed section. We mentioned that a person can say, I'm accepting your parah to the value of 30 dinar, and I will pay you a selah b'chodesh. The source said mutter. We're reading three lines from the bottom. Toward the end of the line, we say that's mutter. Lefi shelo asa adamim. The Gemara asks, "Velo asa? What do you mean? You didn't asa adamim? You didn't assign a value to the par? We he certainly did." Omar Rav Sheshes lo asa adamim mechayim el aliachar misa. The acceptance of value responsibility was not with regard to value change or value decrease while the animal is alive. That he didn't accept. All he accepted was, if the animal should die, I will compensate you to the tune of 30 dinar. That having been said, the owner of the animal, in addition to receiving that level of guarantee return, he is entitled to receive also an additional monthly fee. And with that in mind, we say by the boat that Rav had ruled agra upagra, it's also okay, because there the customer was not accepting responsibility in the case of zola, of the boat value decreasing. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa yuchisa sfina agra upagra. He rules like Rav, that the owner of the boat can accept a fee while at the same time receiving a guarantee on the part of the customer to make any repairs if the boat breaks. Fenohagu b'nei kufra. B'nei kufra is an expression referring to owners of boats. Literally, kufra has to do with tar or pitch that was used in waterproofing the boat. But for our purposes, it means owners of boats. By the way, we're at the top of Daf Ayin. V'noagu b'nei kufra agra b'shas meshicha pagra b'shas shvira. Rashi at the top says, agra b'shas meshicha noisen oisam miyad v'afa b'shekibel schora noisen lo pagra l'cheshet shover. The fee was paid immediately. And even though the schar, the fee that was paid immediately, money would be paid if when the boat breaks. The Gemara asks, "Otu b'minhaga talya milsa?" Is this arrangement something that's dependent on common practice? Rashi says at the top, on the third line from the top, that is, Otu b'minhaga talya milsa hechi shavkina lehu l'kabel schar hayo v'soifo l'knoisa kula. How is it that we allow the owner to receive a fee when eventually he is going to get paid for the entire boat? So the Gemara continues, Mishum demasnisa tanya minhaga. Here, once again, we look at Rashi. Mishum de masnisa tanya de mutter. Since the Tanaic source said that arrangement is in fact allowed, ke dekatoni shel asa domim mechaim, as it was taught in the source that we saw at the bottom of Samach Tesomid Beis, since there was no acceptance of responsibility during the lifetime of the animal, only after elo liachar misa, only if the animal would die, then money would be paid for it. As a result of it being that halacha being taught in the Tanaic source, nohug minhaga. So this practice became popular. And so it's the top line that says Noag Ubnei Kufra Agra, etc. It's not a function of a public custom, but rather it's a development or an outgrowth of something that was taught in a Tanaic source as a legal fact. As a result of the legal fact, so the population practiced that teaching, and that's the term Nohagu in this context. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.